Welcome back to another episode of Brick House, previewing the NBA season, counting down the teams down to number one team. Right now, we're at number 17, Matt, and we're taken to the sweet land of Texas.
Oh, yeah.
Dallas Mavericks, in the most competitive division in sports, the Southwest Division.
Oh, yeah, it was a dogfight last year.
All five teams in the Southwest Division made the eight playoff spots.
That's crazy.
The Dallas Mavericks. In our last episode, we dipped our toe in the playoffs, but this is the Eastern Conference. That was the Eastern Conference playoffs. Mm-hmm. Out west, you can be a great team like Dallas and still maybe not make the... Wow. They're a bubble team this year. Mm-hmm. Everyone's always comparing the Mavs to a group of mercenaries since 2011 when they decided not to bring back most of their championship core.
Right.
I'm not going to do that.
No. I'm not going to go Expendables on this one.
I'm not going to go Expendables on this one, although that's pretty good, man. I like that. I listen to podcasts a lot. Mm-hmm. Part of the inspiration for doing this podcast, and I was listening to Mark Maron's WTF podcast. Right. He had Fred Armisen on, and Fred Armisen, I learned, mm-hmm. was a drummer in the Blue Man Group in Chicago.
Wow.
And he did this for a couple of years. And, you know, was describing a turnover. I mean, he did Blue Man Group for a couple of years. He went in, did his time. People came. There was actually three different rotating bands that would play in the show. Armisen was like a backup guy, but he got his minutes.
Yeah.
And I didn't want to compare the turnover rate of the Dallas Mavericks and say, like, Vince Carter and Charlie Villanueva are, like, waitresses at Applebee's.
Now, does the Blue Man Group have a lead singer? It doesn't, because that would be...
If they did, it would probably be David Hasselhoff.
Yeah, okay.
The Dirkmeister.
The Dirk.
Okay. How did they get here?
Previously on the Dallas Mavericks.
Again, because the West is so weird, they've only missed the playoffs once since... starting with the 2000-2001 season, they've made the playoffs every year except one.
Since Cuban bought the team, pretty much.
Including two trips to the finals, one championship... But three out of the past 4 years, they've lost in the first round. And the other year, they didn't make the playoffs.
It's tough.
Like you said, after 2011, after winning the finals, they blew up the team. Chandler left. Barea left. I think they really wanted to make a play for Dwight Howard.
Dwight Howard and Deron Williams were their big targets.
Right. That was the goal. And they ended up with neither of them, until this year.
Right.
So that was the big thing. Now...
They've been blowing it up every summer trying to swing for the fences with free agents.
Always miss. And then this year was the...
Well, they did get Chandler Parsons.
That's true. I mean, this year was just...
Not exactly a superstar.
Right. This year was just the big blow, I guess we'll get to in a second. But so they've always had the mainstay of Dirk. Dirk's not going anywhere. Dirk signed a three-year, $21 million deal. So he's making $7 million a year or so, which is about...
Seems like a big wink-wink deal.
It's a huge one because he... I mean, no one would blink if Dirk was making 18, 19 million this year.
Oh, yeah.
Just because it's Dirk. I mean, obviously, you got to think that, well, he did it so they would have more money to sign people for one less run. But also, Cuban's not letting Dirk go anywhere. If Dirk lost all his money, Cuban would give him more money.
Dirk has joked a few times that he makes Chandler Parsons buy him dinner whenever they're out on the road because he's like, that's my money that Chandler Parsons has.
Yeah, well, it essentially is. What is he? He's in top 10 in points scored of all time. Like he's...
Yeah, I think he passed Shaq this year.
Yeah, it's for as amazing as he is, I don't think people still understand how amazing he's been.
Their free agency consolation prizes have been Chandler Parsons and Wesley Matthews and nearly DeAndre Jordan.
Right. Well, that was another thing. Yeah.
That was a story that got humped to death by the media, but it was pretty hilarious. DeAndre Jordan had dinner for five nights in a row with Chandler Parsons during the Dallas Mavericks courtship of them.
Yeah.
I can't even remember having dinner five nights in a row with my wife, Matt.
Yeah. Yeah. That's a lot of nights in a row for anyone.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And, you know, they famously, DeAndre changed his mind, and he's back with the Clippers. And the Mavericks got Deron Williams, who they tried to get in 2011. He chose the Nets over him, over the Mavericks. But Deron is from the Dallas area. The Nets gave him $26 million to go away, essentially.
Oh, yeah.
And so now the Mavs signed him. You know, I'm a big Illinois fan, and he's arguably the best basketball player to ever come out of University of Illinois.
Right.
And I, you know, consequently have always rooted for him. So I hope that I'm wrong about Dallas and that D. Will play a major role and have like a career rejuvenation back in the city, and that they'll...
Absolutely.
They, again, have, I think, one of the top five coaches in the NBA in Jim Carrey. Carlisle.
That's right.
Yeah. Looks exactly like Jim Carrey. The owner of the Mavericks mm-hmm. is probably the most well-known owner. Well, I guess people know who Michael Jordan is, but as far as people being famous for owning NBA teams,
it's Cuban.
Mark Cuban has got to be the most well-known because
next
of that.
Next to the Steinbrenners, I'd say he might be the most famous.
Right, right, yeah.
And even more because George Steinbrenner died a few years ago, leaving his sons in charge. So just pure fame for a single owner might be Cuban.
Yeah. I mean, Paul Allen is known as probably more known as the owner of the Seattle Seahawks than the Trailblazers. So since everyone knows so much about Mark Cuban, I thought I would share some information I found that I previously didn't know about him. So here goes. When he was 12 years old, his first entrepreneurial endeavor was he sold garbage bags door to door. Everyone needs garbage bags. He realized that, and he wanted to raise money to buy expensive basketball shoes. So that's what he did.
Okay.
I'm guessing those were probably some Converse back in the day.
Chucks that don't help your feet at all.
You know, I knew that he went to University of Indiana, and he made his fortune by starting Broadcast.com because him and his business partner wanted to listen to Indiana basketball games, but they weren't broadcast in his area. What I didn't know was that while he was a student at the University of Indiana, he also owned the most popular bar for the college students in the area.
Really? When he was a student?
While he was a student.
Wow.
I don't know how he made his money, or maybe he had some sort of, you know, just lease agreement. But, you know, there was some evidence early on of his entrepreneurial spirit.
Wow.
He sold Broadcast.com to Yahoo for $5.7 billion. And smartly, he quickly diversified all those assets right before the dot-com bubble burst. He also owns Landmark Theaters and Magnolia Pictures. He bought the Mavs from one Ross Perot Jr. in the year 2000 for $285 million. Mm-hmm. Definitely up there now. He's in the Guinness Book of World Records, Matt, for having the largest single e-commerce transaction.
Oh, yeah.
Meaning he, over the internet, he bought a Gulfstream private jet for $40 million in 1999.
Wow.
It's pretty cool. He's been fined in his total NBA career at least $1.6 million by the NBA. And he's said in multiple interviews that he always donates an equal amount to charity. So whenever he's fined, he's donated at least that amount.
Doesn't blink an eye on those things.
So that's Mark Cuban for you, president in Sharknado 3 coming out. Also on the show Shark Tank.
And now, the starting lineup for your Dallas Mavericks!
The starting lineup. Let's see who's playing for the Blue Man Group this year. JaVale McGee!
Yeah, that's what I mean. They always take chances on people.
Give him a chance.
He's not afraid to just... Who is it, the Celtics that had like 40 men on their depth chart?
Right.
This Mavericks team is rivaling them.
They got a lot.
Fun fact, the point guards, Darren Williams, J.J. Barea, and Raymond Felton, all born on the same day.
Wow.
Like, same year also.
Wow.
So they all three of them have the same exact birthday.
Where did you find that stat?
I saw it on television.
Cool.
No, on ESPN or something. I was watching, and they were all born on June 26th, 1984, which is really
crazy.
The
same year?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. So that...
What about Raymond Felton?
Yeah, Felton. Felton, Barea, and Darren Williams.
Oh, okay. Devin Harris is the odd man out.
Yeah, Harris was born a year before, but they...
on the same day. No.
Yeah, that'd be crazy. June 26th, 1984. So that's a very interesting thing about them. that they have.
They're all Geminis.
I guess. Is that it?
I think so.
Okay. So I've heard some people think that Raymond Felton's the worst point guard in basketball, or like one of the...
He's up there. I mean, he's not starting, though, so there's probably plenty of shitty fourth-string point guards around.
Right, They So Deron Williams, they finally got him for like $5 million a year, because he doesn't need money, because the Nets gave him money to go away.
Right.
They don't really have a bunch of shooting guards except Wes Matthews, who turned down more money from the Kings to come to the Mavericks to play with what he assumed would be DeAndre Jordan.
Right.
And then they ended up giving him more money after they didn't get DeAndre Jordan.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah, so they gave some of the contracts that they did sign bumped up a little bit because of the money that they didn't give DeAndre Jordan. So he ended up not losing as much money as he would have not going to the Kings, which I guess is cool, because what else are you going to do with that money? I guess sign JaVale McGee. Chandler Parsons. This is Chandler Parsons' third year in the Mavs, right?
I think so. It's his second year.
Is it? Yeah, yeah, it is his second year. My bad. I get all confused. So he's in the second year of his 3-year.
His fifth year is a jeans model, though.
Yeah, that's right. So he's in his second year of his 3-year, $45 million deal, which is a crazy deal. Great for him.
I wonder if that's a player option on the last year.
It is a player option.
So he could be a free agent after this
year. He could.
But he might not get another.
Yeah.
But you never know.
So I would imagine, honestly, I would imagine that Chandler Parsons would, the amount he would sign for after this year would probably be the amount he would sign for after next year.
Because of the new NBA deals.
The new cap. So I would keep, you have $16 million next year, keep that. Don't trade that in, and then go for whatever you can after.
Yeah.
So power forward, Dirk, obviously. Unless you're sick of Dirk, you could start Charlie Villanueva.
Yep, our favorite alopecia'd NBA player.
Oh, yeah.
And instead of DeAndre Jordan, I believe all four of their potential centers this year were not on the team last year. JaVale McGee, Sam D'Alembert.
Well, they got
Zaza.
They got Zaza Pachulia after that whole DeAndre Jordan thing, I think, right? He was the consolation prize.
He was the first one they signed.
And I think they tried to play it off as though they wanted Zaza for a while anyway.
Yeah.
Type thing.
Yeah.
Yeah. Again, if this was an Eastern Conference team, they'd be in the playoffs for sure.
Definitely.
It could sneak into the playoffs. It's just a weird team that there are better teams in the West, but if Deron Williams somehow becomes the old Deron Williams, then they're a playoff team, I think.
And people always criticize Mike D'Antoni as not being the same without Steve Nash.
Yeah.
I think Deron Williams is the inverse, where he was just never the same without Jerry Sloan. And with Rick Carlisle, I think they have a much better opportunity to lead him in the right direction than Jason Kidd or PJ Carlissimo or whoever was coaching him before that.
Yeah. Record prediction.
How do you think they're going to finish? Last year, I believe since Cuban bought the team, they've had 50 wins in all but that one season, including last year, which they were 50-32.
Wow.
I got them at 43-39. The loss of Tyson Chandler and replacing him with JaVale McGee has got to cut you down a serious peg.
I'll say 40-45.
Right. The Pelicans got the eighth seed in the West with 45 wins last year.
Yeah, so they might be able to sneak in.
Dallas had a surprising start last year when they were starting Jameer Nelson at point guard,
right,
I believe. And it wasn't until there was a trade halfway through the season for Rondo that the chemistry really got messed up.
Yeah,
because he couldn't space the floor. He wasn't listening to Carlisle or running his offense. So if Williams buys in, runs an offense that Carlisle designs, he's really good at making players fit well together, and might even find a way to make JaVale McGee seem like a competent basketball player.
What the fuck has anything got to do with LeBron James?
For LBJ's mention today, I think it just cannot be overstated how much LeBron's move to the Miami Heat and his decision are hugely responsible, I think, for the increasing growing popularity of basketball. Mm-hmm. I think him moving from the Cavs, dumping his team on national TV, essentially, and going to play the villain role in Miami in 2010-2011 season was, you know, a huge win for the NBA. That year, he had the What Should I Do Nike commercial.
Oh, yeah.
You remember? That was one of my favorites.
Right.
And should I get all my tattoos removed? That year, they famously lost the championship to the Dallas Mavericks. That's when all the criticism really started. Is LeBron a choke artist?
Right.
You know, he's never gonna win a championship. And, you know, they just had the vitriol of the entire country on them everywhere they went that season.
Right.
It wasn't until LeBron said, you know, he just had to fall in love with basketball again over the summer and really shake off that Mavericks loss. But what a sweet victory that had to have been for Cuban. I mean, he got fined like $450,000 during the 2006 finals, and a very controversial finals win.
Oh, yeah, it was and very how the, tough finals win.
How the they or came loss. Back with Dwayne Wade shooting like 30-some-odd free throws.
Yeah.
And, you know, Cuban claiming essentially that the refs gave them the championship. So it's got to be sweet, sweet victory to get a finally bring a championship to Dallas and do so versus Miami. And I think the audience is going to be really excited for the personal anecdote today.
It's a good one.
And now it's time for a personal anecdote with Matt Baker.
Who's your favorite Disney princess and why?
What is it? Is there a thought behind this, or did you just pick this out of the blue?
Disney princess. I feel like Rondo's probably an Ariel man, and I wanted to know, like, what's Matt Baker?
Life could be much more to him if he just got out from under that sea. Yeah,
he's got trinkets and what's-its galore.
Yeah, that's basically what he has. I'm going off the board. I'm going Mulan.
Mulan, good choice.
What I like about Mulan is all the other princesses, to a point where, like, these graceful. I mean, it's not like Cinderella wasn't, but, you know, they were these graceful kind of
stereotype.
Head in the cloud stereotype. Mulan was sort of clumsy, and she wanted to get in there with the guys, so she disguised herself as a male soldier to go in and muck it up, you know?
Cool.
And to avenge her wounded father. I like that. I like some of the music of Mulan.
All right.
Yeah, I like the action side of Mulan, you know, taking charge and really getting in there, not being like a helpless little princess.
Does she find her prince? I've never seen Mulan. Is there a male love interest?
There's always a male love interest.
Okay.
I can't. Let me find the name here.
JaVale McGee.
Yeah, JaVale McGee. Shang.
Oh, Shang. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's like the Brad Pitt of where's Mulan take place?
China.
Right.
Voiced by B.D. Wong.
Oh, love B.D.
Yeah.
Cool. Well, thanks for sharing. I'm glad to know that about you now.
On the next episode of Brick House.
We got another young playoff hopeful team and a guy, I would say, probably signed the biggest contract of the summer of players who NBA fans have never heard of.
Okay.
You're going to have to tune in to find out who I'm talking about on the next episode of Brick House. We'll be right back.